We've spent some time already this hour talking about marijuana legalization and its many effects. We'll get a bit more specific to California and the growing of marijuana indoors in this next visit. The University of California, Davis runs a center that examines the efficiency of environmental control systems indoors, and it recently put out a case study on a system that helps growers make crops indoors with a good balance of humidity and cooling. Let's hear more about the activities at the Western Cooling Efficiency Center from Dr. Teresa Pistocchini, who's the engineering manager there. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, glad you're here today. It's an intriguing name. What is the Western Cooling Efficiency Center, WCEC, all about?
The Western Cooling Efficiency Center is an organization that is part of a larger energy efficiency center at UC Davis. And the center was formed about 10 years ago specifically to address the issues of cooling efficiency in climates like California. There are some unique opportunities in California with regards to cooling because of our dry climate. And that was how it all started. But then as time has progressed, we've gotten involved in other interesting topics such as this one.
Well, absolutely. The recent case study does mention cannabis near the end. I mean, how significant do you think legalization will make the case for energy-efficient growing systems indoors?
Well, you know, I think there's just so much work to be done. I mean, we're a little bit agnostic as to sort of what the needs are for energy efficiency. And, you know, California has decided that, you know, recreational pot will be legal. And so I would expect with that an increase in growing operations. And the work that we did was commissioned by the utility out of Colorado because they've just seen a huge spike in their energy consumption, and it's completely negated all of their energy efficiency targets. And so this has been a really big deal for them. And, you know, there's so little that's known scientifically about what the needs are for an indoor growing operation as far as how you design that building and how you cool and ventilate that building. And, you know, without all of that data, it's really hard to do a good job engineering it. And so, there's so much work to be done, and it's kind of like this thing that nobody's talking about. But, you know, if we ignore it, the energy impacts could be really, really substantial.
And as you mentioned, they are already. So give me that again. In Colorado, they've essentially, it sounds like they've wiped out any gains in energy efficiency they made in recent years because the increase in use from indoor grows took all the efficiency gains away.
Right. The information I got from the utility manager was that their annual energy efficiency target was to save like 300 gigawatt hours a year. And instead, their energy use for that particular year increased by 400 gigawatt hours, along those lines.
Wow. So it's a significant increase in
right. And obviously, you know, there could be various reasons, but they attribute a lot of it to indoor growing operations.
Mm-hmm. From what you mentioned earlier, it sounds like the Western Cooling Efficiency Center is a bit in tune with California. No big surprise. You're at the University of California. So, I mean, the climatic conditions must be very different in Colorado, though.
Well, interestingly, grow houses, the climate conditions don't matter very much because what happens is the load from the lights and the transpiration, which is the water evaporating from the plants, is massive, and it outweighs any kind of you know, heat gain from the outdoor air or anything like that. So just the goal of trying to get the water and the heat from the lights out of the building outweighs any sort of, you know, in a house, most of the solar gain isn't from the people, or most of the gains aren't from the people inside. It's from, you know, solar gain on the house and things like that. But in a growing operation, you know, the number of people or how hot it is outside is basically irrelevant.
Is there any crop that's grown indoors at quite the volume that marijuana is in the places where it is legal? I guess illegal as well. But I mean, is there any crop?
Luckily, through this news release, I've made some other contacts at UC Davis and some other groups. So we're trying to get a little more in tune with the situation and find out more. But from what I can understand, cannabis is a little bit special in the amount of lighting and the amount of the transpiration from the plants, like the amount of water and heat you have to remove, like per square foot of building, like is, you know, 10 times more than would be for tomatoes or something similar.
Wow. So just very, very energy intensive crop.
Right. And I don't know if that has to do with you know, how they sort of choose to grow it because it's worth so much, or, you know, I'm not quite clear why that all happens. But that's from the limited data I can find, it seems that it's much more intensive. And you know, I don't think, especially like in California, there isn't like a lot of, it's not that profitable to grow tomatoes indoors, right? You normally just grow on the fields.
Right. We're talking to Dr. Teresa Pistacchini, the engineering manager at the Western Cooling Efficiency Center at UC Davis, which recently put out a case study about a system that can reduce humidity and get some cooling and do so more efficiently, which is important as California enters a period of legal marijuana growing, at least as long as the feds don't crack down. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, is the drive to grow marijuana indoors, I mean, and again, I understand you're working with limited information, but is it just because outside of the Emerald Triangle, California is not terribly great place to grow pot outdoors?
Well, my guess is that it's just profitable, mm-hmm. right? I mean that you know, you can control everything if you provide enough air conditioning and dehumidification and lighting. Like my understanding is they run the lights on the order of 18 hours a day, so you would not normally have that in outdoor cultivation. Mm-hmm. So they can run lights 18 hours a day. They can tightly control temperature and humidity. So if that can increase their yield by a certain percentage, I'm guessing that it all pencils out. So
there are two major areas we're talking about here, humidity and cooling.
Right.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around some of the things that are peculiar to marijuana versus any other things you grow indoors. It sounds like they put out a lot of moisture.
Well, yeah, so they put out a lot of moisture. Another thing that's unique to marijuana as opposed to tomatoes or any other indoor plant is apparently they also, in order to increase growing rates, production rates, growers add CO2 to the building, so they increase the CO2 level, which the plants need for photosynthesis, right? And so because of that, that's another reason you would want to do growing indoors. But because of that, now you can't use, like, say outside you have lots of dry outdoor air and you need to get rid of the water. Well, you can't bring in outside air because you'd lose your CO2. So they essentially want to just remove the water from the building, and they don't want to have any ventilation from outside because they're trying to preserve the CO2 inside the building.
Ah, okay. So just the very kind of air you have in the building is critical to marijuana.
Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of really interesting things that are done that make it a completely different problem from a data center or an office building or a grocery store or all the other things that engineers build HVAC systems for. So they don't know what nobody quite knows what to do, right? So they just go out and they like buy air conditioners and slap them on and dehumidifiers and they like hope for the best. And sometimes I think there's even production problems because they can't control the building conditions. But regardless, you know, the energy efficiency of the building is terrible.
Because it sounds like what you're doing is you're working across purposes because your dehumidifying creates heat and then you have to cool the structure as well.
Exactly. So typically what they do is they go, you know, buy these dehumidifiers. Dehumidifiers are essentially air conditioners that just remove water and dump all the heat back into the building. So then you go and you get another air conditioner and you try and remove all that heat. And so the product that we tested here, which is manufactured by MSP Technology, is essentially designed basically just for this purpose. And so what it does is it uses the air conditioning cycle just to remove the water from the space and a little bit of heat, and it dumps that directly outside. And the other thing that it does is it, as you dehumidify, you're collecting the water that the plants have released, and so you can collect all that and recycle it and put it back on the plants.
So it's not just the dumping of water or collection in a bucket or some kind of tank. You actually recycle it.
Yeah, I mean, all the water that you collect from dehumidifying, you can reuse it if you set the system up to do that. But if you're just sort of like ad hoc doing this and you go buy, you know, a bunch of dehumidifiers from Home Depot or wherever, then, you know, usually they just dump the water to the drains because it's easier. But when you dehumidify, you collect all that. You can collect all that water and then reuse it. And obviously water, well, it's been a little bit rainier lately, but I think the drought is still on people's minds. At least I hope it is.
Right, I know. We're having to talk about drought issues in our second hour today as well and make it clear that we're not talking about this week or this month.
Right. But anyway, there's some water savings opportunities as well, not just energy.
Okay. So when we talk MSP technology, then is this, I mean, is it designed specifically for marijuana grows?
You know, apparently the company's been around 30 years. So, you know, I've actually never asked the owner sort of how they started or why they started, but they essentially built this technology that was really well designed for dehumidification. And I guess at some point figured out that this would be like perfect for indoor growing, is my understanding. So they're really trying to push it in that industry.
And Teresa, what kind of energy efficiency did this singular system get over other systems where, for example, people are buying the air conditioners and dehumidifiers from Home Depot?
Right. So what we did is we did some testing in our lab. We have climate chambers in our lab at UC Davis, so we can create sort of any conditions we want, simulating, you know, a grow house operating in specific conditions. And so we tested their system, and then we built a model sort of comparing it to a typical system for what we – you know, how we believe a grow house operates based on what we know. And our projections show that this technology could save like 30 to 65% of the cooling and ventilation energy used in a grow house. And that, my understanding, is about at least half of the electricity used in a grow house. And I also understand that energy costs are probably like 20% of their expense. So, you know, we're talking about saving, you know, at least like 5% on their operational cost, something like that. Mm-hmm. Pretty significant.
Given that it sounds like you're having to had to ask a lot of the same questions I'm asking now, just to sort of get your mind around what goes on in the grow houses in the first place, just to be able to set up a test for the system.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to various people, and I had one HVAC technician come through here, and I guess all he does is grow houses, and he was like, I think he told me he was like 80 years old, and I was trying to get him to explain to me exactly what he does or how he does it, but he was telling me that he's the grow house guy and they hire him and all their plants are better. And, you know, so it's like, I don't think there's, you know, like, for example, I think we all agree for buildings that, right, we all like it to be, you know, whatever, 74 degrees. And I mean, maybe it doesn't always happen that way, but we all sort of agree on like what an office building should feel like. But it sounds like everybody has, you know, it's sort of been this art form that people have evolved, and different people have different opinions as to sort of what the standard is, and so that's sort of hard from an engineering perspective. So I think, you know, so there's work to be done there, and I think that there's you know, agricultural researchers getting involved in that as well, and I think there needs to be this combination between you know, agricultural research and engineering that comes together and starts to define, you know, an optimal solution.
All right. Well, thanks for the tour through what's been going on so far at the Western Cooling Efficiency Center. That's at UC Davis. Dr. Teresa Pistacchini is the engineering manager there. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.